facility after the summer shutdown. Ford did say they're having trouble keeping up with demand for both vehicles, and the plant is currently running 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Democratic Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have said they would like to abolish the Electoral College and use a popular vote. Now, Democrats have been speaking out regarding the Electoral College after Hillary Clinton won the national popular vote by more than 3 million votes in 2016, but still lost the presidency to President Trump. Trump 2020 campaign senior advisor Laura Trump tells Fox News Democrats are in full-on panic mode.
Let's just talk about the fact that the Electoral College was put in place to make sure that the middle of the country was not forgotten. Otherwise, Sandra, people would campaign in New York and L.A., and that's all they would do. They'd go to the big cities. They'd forget about the real people of this country, the rural people in the middle. I think it's very clear people are still upset on the left that their chosen candidate did not win in 2016. They want to find any way they can to beat Donald Trump, because I think they know it's going to be incredibly hard, almost impossible, to beat this president in the 2020 election.
Trump continues.
Listen, this is a system we've had in place for hundreds of years in this country. It's been working. It's always worked the way it's supposed to. And there's, again, a reason that it was implemented this way by the founders of our country, because they didn't want the people in the middle to be forgotten. And, you know, otherwise you could just make two campaign stops and you call it a day. And that's not really what you want when you have a presidential election.
Several of the 2020 presidential candidates are also suggesting changes be made to the Supreme Court as well. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, it's Joe Peters, and it is the 19th of March, a little bit after 4 o'clock, and we're in scenic downtown Flemington getting ready to do Real Estate Matters. This is going to be my monthly update. It's a little late this month because we had a couple of guests that couldn't wait, so we did them first. And if you haven't tuned in, look on my Facebook page and you can see the recordings of them. Everything we do here is published to Facebook. First things first, I'm going to give you an intro to the weather and then the weather.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Okay, so our weather right now, we're sitting at 48 degrees in downtown Flemington. And if we take a look out, we're going to get to 50 today, 27 overnight, 55 tomorrow, 36 overnight, 50 on for Thursday with a little bit of rain during the day, and 41 overnight, and then 52 again on Friday and 46 on Saturday. So pretty seasonable for this time of the year. It's the time of the year you start to see the little yellow flowers. I guess they're called daffodils, the only one that the deers won't eat. We need more daffodils or less deer. I'm not sure which. But you start to see them picking their heads up, poking their heads up through, and it's spring. And we're about 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe from Easter. It's going to be the 21st of April this year. So we're just probably 4 weeks from Easter. And I'm going to play a few of our paid commercials. I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So once again, it's Joe Peters of Coldwell Banker, and rather than me give you a lot of information about myself, I'm going to play my background commercial, and we'll be right back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, happy 19th of March, 2019. It is currently a few minutes after 4 o'clock. We're in downtown Flemington giving a real estate update. I published two real estate updates, one for Hunterdon County and one for Somerset County. They both can be found on my site at jpeters.com. I gather this information from various articles that I read, people that I talk to, and experts that I pay for monthly updates on what's going on in our market, both statewide and nationally. It's a composite of all of that, and most people find it pretty interesting. If you'd like, you can go to my site and drop me a note, and I will add you to my newsletter list, and you'll get a copy of a click-through to the newsletter each month. Right now, we're taking a look at what happened, and we do it in two parts, what's happening and then why it's happening. What's happening is pretty important because that's the statistics that result from the previous month. Why it's happening is more important because that's more long-range thinking that have led up to why this is happening, the what is happening right now. And this report is through the end of February. Based on the last full month's sales, we have about supply of inventory of about 6 months. That's on the high end of normal. 4 to 6 is normal. If you get above 6 months inventory, you then have pressure on prices. If you get below 4 months inventory, you probably have multiple offers. Units going under contract average 73 days. That's a little, not even 2.5 months. That's pretty good. We had 126 properties go under contract in February, up from 116 the prior month, and newly listed properties at the same period of time was 204. Hunterdon County is a county that faces its challenges. It's a great place to live. I've been here 20 years. I'm not going anywhere. We live up in Annandale. Yet we're seeing a few things happen in Hunterdon County that are gradually changing, have been changing over the last 3 or 4 years, and are going to continue to change. And one is that over 70% of our inventory that has sold in the last 30 days, the month of February, has been in the under 500,000 area. Only the other 28% is above 700,000, I should say above 500,000, and only 6% of all of the inventory, or 8 in total, 8 of the 126 houses have been over 700,000. We had 3 in the 7s, 3 in the 8s, none in the 9s, and 2 over a million. It's getting soft up there. It's getting soft up there for reasons that we're going to discuss. At the same time, if you look at the towns, we're looking at, I should say, the price points, we're looking at decent turnover all the way up through 500,000. But when you get between 5 and 6, you get up to 6 months, which is our average. 6 and 7, we get up to 7 months. And when you get past there, you're probably looking at anywhere from a year to a year and a half to sell a house. So if you're in a $700,000 house and above, and we have on the market right now, let me just add them up, we've got 40, 80, 100, 140 houses roughly, and we sold 8. You divide 8 into 140, and you're probably going to come out with something like 14 months supply. That's kind of tough if you're up there. But the season is changing. We've got a lot of inventory coming on the market currently, and we have a lot of people out there looking for inventory. So maybe by the time we talk about next month, that's more like 18 months supply. I just divided it through. At the same time, we have some towns that are doing better than others as far as inventory. We have 3 towns that we didn't sell a thing last month: Califon, Franklin Township, Lebanon Borough. That's not an anomaly. Every month there's 2 or 3 towns that don't sell anything. We have a lot of towns that only sell 1 or 2 a month, and every once in a while one of them doesn't sell anything. We had 9 areas that sold 1 or 2 houses last month. The town of Clinton, Bloomsbury, Frenchtown, Hampton, Kingwood, Lebanon Township, Milford, Stockport, and West Amwell. I mean, the only of those 9 that are center are The town of Clinton and Lebanon Township. Everything else is on one of the extremities, far north, far south, far west. But we have hot spots, too. And the hot spots are the same every month. We have Clinton, Clinton Township. Even though Clinton didn't sell much, we lumped the two of them together because most people can't tell them apart. And those two towns together sold 15 sales last month. Then we have Reddington Township, which sold 20 sales, and we have Raritan Township that sold 23. So that's roughly half our sales last month, 46%. Most months it's over 50%. The average new listing coming on the market last month being February once again, was $492,000. The average sale price for what went under contract was $390,000. Those numbers are pretty average. We're looking at selling houses for roughly 21% less than we're listing them for if you look at the listings from last month and the sales for last month. What we are experiencing is, though, we get people who want to test the market up front when they list a house. It's a horrible idea, but you know the seller's always the boss, and we got to let them try their price out. And a lot of the houses that come on the market are maybe 10% above where they should be to start with, and after 30 to 60 days, they get adjusted down. That's part of that disparity between the two prices. But I'd like to contrast that to what we're seeing over in Somerset County. Somerset County is one county closer to New York City, and as a result, it sells a lot more. It has more people, about 2.5 times, and it sells about 2.5 times the sales we do in Hunterdon County. We sold 126, they sold 322. We have in Hunterdon County a total of 733 listings. They have a total of 1,200 listings. They're sitting with a 4-month supply when we're sitting with a 6-month supply. So you say, how do you get that 4-month supply? Well, in effect, they have 1,200 houses for sale, and they sold 322 in the last month. That means it went under contract in a month of February. It hasn't closed yet in most cases. And you divide the 322 into the 1,200, that gives you a 4-month supply. In Hunterdon County, we have 733 houses, sold 126. You divide one into the other, and you come up with a 6-month supply. Somerset County doesn't have that same bump. I mean, 69% of their sales are under 500,000. So under 500,000 is where our first and sometimes second-time buyers are shopping. But in Somerset County, 27% of their sales are between 500 and 1 million, and 4% are over 1 million. They actually sold 13 sales. Twice what we sold over 700,000 in the above 1 million price point. That's because they're where it's easier to commute to New York. It's also much more ethnically diverse, and when you get to towns like Bridgewater with the large new Indian temple, you start to see this is where people really want to live. That's as far away from New York as they want to get. It's really as far west as they want to go. And we're not getting people migrate all the way out to Hunterdon County the way they used to. That's one of our problems. Another one or two we're going to go through before we get finished. So 13 sales over 1 million. If you remember, we sold nothing in the 900s. They sold 8. They sold 7 in the 800s. They sold 14 in the 700s. So they've got between 27 and 15, 40, they have 42 sales where we had 8. They're selling 5 times what we're selling over $700,000. And that's, it used to be the old joke about why do they rob banks? Because that's where the money's at. Well, why do they have more sales? Because they can. They're closer to New York. People will pay more to live there. And in effect, the commute is less, but you're going to pay probably 20% more for a house in Somerset County than you are in Hunterdon County for the same size house, and you're probably going to get half the square footage of land. They have two areas that didn't sell anything, Millstone and Rocky Hill, both small areas. One area that only had 2 sales, and that was Peapack Gladstone, a very high end. But their Bernards, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, Montgomery areas comprised 61% of their sales. So if you remember, I said Hunterdon has Reddington, Raritan, Clinton, Clinton Township. That sort of is contiguous to those towns I just mentioned, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, Montgomery, Bernards. that's the sweet spot. People sometimes can't find what they're looking for in Somerset County and keep going west, and they wind up in Hunterdon County. And they don't go too far into Hunterdon County. They used to go up to Route 31 plus about a mile and stop. That's why Raritan, Reddington, and Clinton Township are so popular. Now they try to get the 287 and stop, plus about a mile, which is Bridgewater. They've got some towns that are tough. Bernardsville sitting with 18 months worth of inventory. Peapack Gladstone sitting with 10 months worth of inventory. They actually had a average listing last month of 616, where our average listing price was 492, and their average sale price was 456, where our average sale price is 390. So they've got that same disparity between listing and sales. It's a natural phenomenon. And the other thing about listing prices, some of the prices listed this month won't sell for 3 or 4 months, and it'll be June, and it'll be a different market already. So there's two ways of looking at why there's a difference between list and actual sale price. So that's what's happening. We've got a robust market. I'm thinking that I think I said this last month as well, and I don't want to repeat myself, but the feeling holds true. We have had such an abnormal market for the last 10 years, since 2008, when the literally market crashed, and we had all of those foreclosures and short sales. We still have quite a bit, but not what we once had, that we had an erratic real estate market between then and last year. Now we're getting back to sort of normal. It's more normal time. We're seeing more normal activity. We're still seeing a lack of inventory under 400,000 at least, and to some extent under 500,000. But we're also starting to see inventory come on the market. In the month of November and December, even into January, we started to see listings in a time of the year when we don't get listings. The whole world goes to sleep, real estate-wise, around Thanksgiving time and wakes up about a week after Super Bowl, depending on the weather. So here we are, probably a month after Super Bowl. The weather hasn't been all that bad. And quite honestly, the world's waking up. It's getting very active out there. Listed several houses myself in the last week, have sold a number one or two of my listings. But let me give you in general what's happening. For the first time in 3 years, we have seen an improvement in the inventory situation. And that's happened 6 months in a row. It's either gone up or stayed even with the year before. We haven't seen that once in the 3 years before. That's good news. Yet inventory is still low. And that leads to a bit of softening in price appreciation. So where we saw about a 3.5% appreciation across the state in all price points last year, this year we're probably going to see a 2%, maybe 3%. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to get 2 to 3%, as they didn't get 3.5% last year. What that means is it depends where you're at location-wise and where you're at price-wise. If you're above 700,000, I don't care where your house is, you're probably not going to see any appreciation. As a matter of fact, you'll probably see some depreciation. And if you're in the further extremities, like to the west where people don't want to commute from or physically can't, you're going to see very little appreciation. But if you're in the popular price points, the under 400 especially, that's where first-time buyers and then the second-time buyer is who the buyer buys from and then they need another house are shopping, we're still short on inventory. We saw an increase in 6% in home sales in New Jersey in January based on interest rates lowering further. We're sitting at 4.25 yesterday. 4.25, that's the lowest it's been in a year and a half. What happened historically was November, December, we had a couple of Fed rate hikes. We saw a lot of shouting at each other down in Washington. And what we're seeing now is no forecast of future Fed rate hikes for the next 6 months. It'll be third quarter before we see that happen again, if then. Activity is still concentrated under the 400K level. If we take a look at the amount of sales that are under 400K, As I said, 72% of us is under 500K, and if we just look, there's only 20 between 4 and 5, so we've probably got 67% under 400K. That's where first-time buyers are looking. During the same period, sales above 400 showed some modest increases. They're not doing as bad as they did the year before, but we're seeing some resistance to price. It's turned from a seller's market into a buyer's market, almost across the board. And when it becomes a buyer's market, buyers are a little more choosy as to what they're about to pay for a house, and then the sellers are either not getting the price they want or having to mark their house down to meet the buyers where they're shopping. The number of homes being offered for sale has remained low but rising slightly, 3% last month. The supply increased by 900 homes compared to a year ago. But currently, we still have 38,000, or 52% less homes on the market than we did in 2011, just 8 years ago. Current unsold inventory in New Jersey varies widely by county, and it totals 4.5, down from 4.7 months of inventory across the whole state. Some counties are worse, the further out ones, the ones we can't commute to anywhere, but all of New Jersey counties presently have less than 8 months of inventory, and that's good news, with the state averaging 4.5. Acute shortage, where I mentioned, in both Hunterdon and Somerset, we could sell twice as many houses between 150 and 400 if we had the inventory. Might be even worse than that. We might be able to sell more than twice. Hunterdon and Somerset County are about 7 and 8% more inventory than they had a year ago, but still 6 to 7% less than 2 years ago. So we're improving, but we're not back where we needed to be. And at the same time, we saw a pullback or price sensitivity because of it turning into a buyer's market. We're also seeing some millennials come back into the market. What I like to say are the millennials are headed to the east, and as a result, they want to live in an area where they can quickly commute into New York, which is where the jobs are, or the areas very near to New York. Hoboken, Jersey City become very sought-after areas. They're probably paying twice the rent over there that they would here because they can't afford to buy over there. And secondly, it costs almost twice as much to live there besides the rent. So as a result, they're not accumulating funds towards buying a house. And that's sort of a bad forecast in that if they're not accumulating enough money to buy a house, we're not going to see the millennials coming back. We're going to see them turn into renters. The economy is strengthening. Interest rates have fallen to, as I said, about 4.25. 15-year conventional mortgage is just around 3.8 and a 5-year about 3.85. Consumer fears of further interest rates and slowly rising home prices, that's a 1-2 punch on pricing, is what has been driving the market. But in effect, it subsided a little with the interest rates dropping to where they are. The national job front, we had a real fluky jobs report last month. We actually went from 4.0 to 3.8% unemployed. Great improvement. But we only put 20,000 people to work, where the month before we put 300,000 people to work. I think it will be proven that that number was not correct. But in effect, in previous months, we've had really good 304,000 people went to work in January. Only 20,000 went to work in February. I mean, I don't think there's a person that believes that number is right. On a national level, U.S. added 2.6 million jobs in 2018 and is trending towards 4 million jobs being added by year-end based on the first 2 months' worth of numbers. At the end of January, there were 7.3 million job openings and only 6.3 million people unemployed. Great news for housing industry if this trend continues. But the really good news is Jersey is doing better than the nation. A state that has lagged for so long is now putting numbers back. We're at 4% unemployment. We added 62,000 jobs in 2018, compared to 47 the year before. The level of the jobs that we're creating is much higher. They are not minimum wage jobs. Most of them are skilled college level jobs, and most of these jobs are closer to New York. Rental markets, interesting. Two-thirds of everything we built last year was a rental. Let me say that again. Two-thirds of all new construction in New Jersey in 2018 was rental-only construction. That's never been that way. We're trending towards rentals, whether we want to admit it or not. One, because people can't afford or find the houses that they're looking for. Two, in that our lifestyles are changing. And three, I just read an article this morning that there are more rentals for seniors over 65 than there's ever been. So we used to have 73-74% home ownership. Now it dropped because so many people really shouldn't have had a home between 2005 and 2010, and they lost them to a great extent in the downturn, all the way down to 63-64%. We're up to almost 67% again, so we're building, but it's a healthy 67%. Our foreclosure problem is not the problem that it once was. But we're also seeing more people rent. We're seeing more people rent for a couple of reasons. They can't find what they want to buy. We're building more rentals in order to satisfy their demand. And it's not such a bad lifestyle. People who once wanted the 3 acres, Center Hall Colonial, 3,600 square foot, drive 10 miles from the train station to get there, if you can get a train out that far, aren't thinking that way anymore. They're not having as many children. They're not earning as much money, and are looking for more leisure time. They're looking for what we got into in our 60s, up till about 5 years ago, which was, let's get out of the mega mansion and downsize. Gives me more leisure time, gives me more discretionary money. We're seeing people realize that not that late in life. One of the reasons is the investment that a house wants offered, which was a rise in the value every year and a great tax deduction, has lost its luster. It's not seen as a good investment. It's not seen as a good tax haven anymore. So the advent of rentals are there. We're looking at rental prices increasing 6% last year, and the average nearly $1,600 a unit. I will tell you, if you have a rental, just a basic one-bedroom rental, you're probably going to get $1,350 in Hunterdon and $1,450 in Somerset. You're going to get like $1,750 closer to New York. A two-bedroom rental would probably go $1,600 to $1,800, and nearer to New York, they could go almost $4,000. Two bedrooms are easier to rent than one because two people can come in and split the rent. Average homeowner who's 65 plus has an average net worth of $318,000. Average renter has a net worth of $8,000. That's quite a disparity. However, the number of renters has increased by 7% over the last 25 years. So the reasons I just went through, and although it's a trend, I don't think it's a dangerous trend. It's just, excuse me, a change in lifestyle. New Jersey foreclosures, we're doing better. I don't want to spend a lot of time on foreclosures. It's still a big number to us. We're going to probably, we're like fifth in the nation. We're probably going to have 50,000 foreclosure filings this year. But as compared to 75 only 2 years ago, that's not a bad number. We're going in the right direction. The tax cuts, people as we speak or just finishing or just getting ready are doing their taxes. And once they do their taxes, I think we're going to see a little difference in thinking. I think we're going to see in the middle class and to the upper middle class, people saying, wow, I have a lot of extra money that I didn't have a year ago, although we cut the tax tables a year ago. They're saying, oh, the refunds aren't as big. Well, they're not as big because we cut the tax tables a year ago. Nobody's saying that. Every argument that you come out of Washington with, you got to take with a grain of salt because they're not telling you half the story. And I don't care which side you listen to. But people are paying a lot less taxes. But the people in the upper class are paying more taxes. That's what this was designed to do. And the structure of how your tax shelters are there has changed a lot. So a home equity line of credit where you borrowed to pay off the kids' college. Give them a break or pay off the summer home because it's no longer tax deductible. Is now not tax deductible. That home equity line is deductible if you use the money to improve the home that it's borrowed against. That's a big change, and people are going to start to realize that. But when we heard all of this about, oh, my God, I'm limited to $10,000, and we're not going to – all the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, or FUD as we call it, that was being thrown around about the tax cuts has not come to fruition unless you're in the upper 1%. If you're making more than $400,000, you're paying more taxes. And the one forecast I heard was you have to own $1 million worth of property as a single person and make more than $400,000 before you lost money on taxes. We'll see how that plays out. But the same for a couple was earning $700,000 and owning $1.5 million. So, yeah, we have people that are up there, but we don't have that many people that are up there. It's the upper percent, half a percent, depending on where you're at. And quite honestly, they're going to pay more taxes. And I saw a number that said 5,700 people have left New York and New Jersey that were millionaires in the last 12 months. I don't know where they're going to save all this money because you're going to pay taxes federally no matter where you go the same way. But there are some states that have better tax havens, and the cost of living in a lot of states is better. So I think, we probably have lost people and will continue to lose people, especially after they do their taxes. But at the same time, that's part of what's contributed to the higher end inventory being harder to sell. So economic conditions, we're in great shape. 8 straight years of 2 million plus job gains. Second longest economic expansion in America's history, and by June it will be the longest. The GDP still rising, but it's not rising as quickly as it once was. So that's a sign that maybe a slowdown is around the corner. We're hearing the slowdown, if it does come, will be in late 2020, maybe into 2021. 4% unemployment in New Jersey, equal to the nation. The nation just dipped to 3.8 since this came out. Leading economic indicators in New Jersey are now surpassing the nation by almost twofold, so it's a great place to be. The best-paying jobs are nearer to New York. It's always been that way. We started moving to the west, but we started sort of like the tide goes out, the tide comes back. The tide started coming back about 5 years ago, right after 2010. We're not moving as far west as we used to. And house prices have risen around 3.5%. The more popular price points getting even more in more popular areas and the less popular price points, maybe not getting any or losing. Baby boomers are staying put. They're not buying that last big house because the tax shelter is not there any longer, and the fact that it will rise in value doesn't seem to be. And it's leading to more rentals, as I said. There's no entry-level construction going on in our area, just larger homes and new rentals. The larger homes, I know somebody who's a builder in Hunterdon County that's got 8 lots standing, no contracts. One standing house from the previous year that was built as a spec, not sold. It's really looking grim at the high level in Hunterdon County. In Somerset County, we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing a lot of vacant homes and homes for sale over $1 million that are taking a long time to sell. Well, let me just look at the statistic at that price point. It's taken us 17 months in Somerset County to sell houses. They have the same problem. It's just higher up. Changes in lifestyle. Average age to get married is late 30s. Families usually have 1, maybe 2 child. A lot of times none. 70% of all New Jersey homes have no children of school age, and 50% don't have 2 people in it. Who needs a big house if that's happening? Demand for largest housing has diminished, not only in New Jersey, but everywhere, not only in the United States. I was in Canada the year before last, and we saw the same thing up there. As a result of the job situations, buyers are gravitating to be closer to New York, hurting Hunterdon County. 80% of consumers will still perceive home ownership as part of the American dream. It's just what they want to buy has changed. Builders are thinking four-bedroom center hall colonials. Buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rises, closer to work, closer to transportation. It's another problem we have in Hunterdon County. No mass transportation. Few bus lines, but nothing in any great numbers. No rail, and it is tough to commute from Hunterdon County to New York. And as a result, we're not getting the migration here that we used to. Buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rise, and the first time in history last year, I'm getting waved at. Hey. How you doing? First time in history last year, Hunterdon County has actually had less births than deaths. So, say it backwards, more deaths than births. It's the first time we're losing 1.5% on the average of our population. But last year, we lost just some natural growth, and that hurts. We're experiencing a sales slump in late 2018 market-wise because of those two interest rates. We're entering our next phase, which is active but less robust, cool down since 2018, or maybe just back to normal, and it's going to take a while for us to realize that. We're starting to see some warnings of an economic slowdown in 2021-22, and the Fed raising interest rates between here and there will make that happen. The effect on housing is seen to be limited to curtailing the growth of price appreciation and not making the values drop. But in general, homeowners are sitting on more equity in New Jersey, 92% positive equity, and are no longer using their homes as ATMs, which is how they got into trouble. Consumer confidence remains high nationwide. There's a bit of offset to this from the discord and what we see on TV every night. If you are a consumer and you were thinking about buying a house and you believed what you saw on 6 o'clock news, you would say, maybe we should wait a month or two. And that's not a good decision. What you want to do is jump in while the interest or rates and before the prices start to go up again. But what we see on TV is not helping the consumer confidence level. Still high, though. Millennials are about 25% of our home ownership. It could be twice that. Central New Jersey's trend for 17 or 18 showed an increase in home sales, but price increases only in homes clustered under 400. The over 400 market holds steady to diminishing slightly to over 700, probably not increasing at all, and you get closer to a million, you're probably coming down. Analyst five-year forecast indicates steady but diminishing price growth at an average of somewhere between 2 and 4%, depending on your location and price point. The price growth will remain higher in the under 400 market. The acute shortage of inventory in both Hunter and Somerset County is more popular price points exists. It's simple. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory in the popular price points. And when we go to build something new, we don't build $200,000 and $300,000 houses. We build $700,000 to $1 million houses. And we're doing that for a reason. We put laws on the books 10 to 20 years ago to curtail growth in entry-level housing. And now that we need entry-level housing above the affordable housing limit, which is income-restricted housing, is non-existent because of those laws. And we have to build on, in some towns, free acres, and we have to build in some towns 3,200, 3,600 square feet. That's a 700 and up house. We're not selling them. We're in discord with ourselves. So, as I said, it's simple. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory in the popular price points. Mortgage delinquency is normalizing. We're getting better on the foreclosures. So here's my forecast. And this is not only Joe Peters, this is a combination of all the people I listen to who helped me make my mind up. The economy will continue to prosper with no recession currently in sight for at least 36 months. And then most likely will only be an adjustment, and we will not see the appreciation rate as we have seen for the last few years. We're already seeing it drop from 3.5 to 2.0. interest rates will climb to probably 5% in 2019. So if they go from 4.25 to 5 at the end of the year, you're going to lose about 7% of your buying power. At the same time, 2 or 3% in a hot popular price point is 4 or 5% of price appreciation. So when you could start the year buying a house that was $500,000, and because interest went up and prices went up, and you can end the year buying maybe a $430,000, $440,000 house, you've lost quite a bit of your buying power. While improving, supply will remain tight. Many new jobs are resulting from the Tax and Jobs Act. Everybody forgets it was a Jobs Act as well. For the first time in memory, the U.S. is reporting more job openings than people available. We always have 2% unemployment. That's economics 101. 2% of 2 million people are free percent unemployment. So 3% of 200 million people is the 600,000 we have unemployed. There's a mismatch, and some of them have the wrong skills for the jobs that are open, and there's also a mismatch in that some of the jobs that are open are not where the people are. And Hunterdon County could be an example of that. We need a lot of health care help in Hunterdon County. People can't afford to drive here and work for what we pay health care workers for. So as a result, we're paying more to get the people we need. As a result, prices are going up. But the mismatch is a natural mismatch. We could do a whole show just on that subject matter. Affordability Index shows there's more room for much more sales. We can afford to pay. We just need an increase in inventory. Some high-end fallout could result from the Tax Act. We'll know after the taxes get filed this year. The commercial real estate market is flourishing. The results of the Tax Act on commercial is out of sight. You can do a 100% appreciation if you can afford to pay cash for something or even finance it. People in our house over 10 years is an interesting phenomenon. If you've been in your house over 10 years, you're starting to pay a lot on your principal and less on your interest. So your equity is building up. People in their house at, let's say you start at 20% down, and three quarters of your first payment goes to interest and taxes, and one quarter goes to principal. Your principal goes down ever so slightly each month. It goes up, I guess. The amount that you're putting on principal goes up ever so slightly each month because your equity is building. But it builds very slowly. So at the end of 10 years, you're probably sitting with about 60% owed and 40% equity, where you started with 20. So you've doubled your equity, but now it starts to build quickly because you're paying more and more towards equity every month and less towards interest. So people in their homes over 10 years are finding themselves very surprised at how much equity they have in their house. Up until 2008, people traded a house every 8 years on average. It's now somewhere around 11 years because of what happened over the last 10 years. And because they didn't trade their house and they haven't looked at the number, when they do, they're pleasantly surprised. I got a lot of equity. It gives people, A, the ability to borrow against the house and use that money for other things like starting a business or maybe buying a second home. But you really need to talk to your tax and investment advisors because the rules that apply here have changed dramatically. I belong to several groups where we have some high net worth individuals in there as far as financial planners, and they're saying if you haven't looked at your taxes and your investments and what's interest and taxed today versus what was before this act, you are well overdue because you may be making some strategic errors. I am not allowed to give tax or investment advice, but I am allowed to tell you, you should be talking to your investment counselor. So what I would take, if I was a homeowner that was sitting on a house over 10 years, I would get a real estate expert like myself to come in and give you an appreciation. We call it a CMA or a competitive market. What is my house worth? I think you're going to be surprised. Then I think based on what your house is worth and what you owe on it, you should go talk to your tax and investment counselors and say, am I doing the right thing? I have a house that now has 50% equity in it. I have a second property or other debt that, in effect, I'm not getting any interest or deduction on it. So maybe it's time to reconstruct things. I'm not saying sell and buy. I'm saying maybe use some of the equity in your house to refinance your house and take the equity to pay off something else that's no longer tax deduction. But once again, you need specific advice. My name's Joe Peters. I do real estate for a living. I came out of the IT background in retail. I've been doing this for 15 years with Weichert for 13 of them and Coldwell Banker for the last two. I help people to achieve their goals and dreams and to talk out what they're trying to do and how they can get that done. What I have seen in the market in the last 30 days has been extraordinary. I have seen a house where we came in and listed the house 3% above where we thought it would sell at, because we typically sell things for 2 to 3% off. And within 10 days, we had an offer above the asking price that now has gone to contract. So A, we sold it for more than we thought we could, and B, we sold it quicker than we thought we were good. We thought 30 to 60 days was a reasonable turnaround time. I'm seeing that elsewhere too. And I'm seeing other people do several things. I'm seeing people starting to downsize a little bit. I'm seeing people leaving the state a little bit. Three of the sales I did last year as listings left the state. One got transferred and two just moved out. I have another one available right now where the fellow's going to move out. Not so much. They'll mention the cost of living, but they want to go live nearer to where the kids are. The kids went off to college, and now they're living elsewhere because they don't come back to New Jersey after college, typically. Another whole discussion. But if you listen to, it was probably 2 weeks ago, the president had this economic council put together, and Tim Cook, who he called Tim Apple, I guess it was a Freudian slip. I don't think he meant to say that, but Tim Apple Cook said, we don't need the kind of education that we're giving our children. We need education specific to what the job skills we have open are, and are diversely different. And I've listened to other people say, I mean, one statistic I heard is that we're taking 40,000 children a year in New Jersey and shipping them off to four-year colleges. They're going to go get degrees, and probably what mom and dad got a degree in or whatever is the apple of their eye, and they're probably going to be disappointed that in a lot of cases that skill set isn't sought after the way they hope it would be sought after. Where on the other side of the argument, we have local employment, especially in the manufacturing in Somerset County and to a good extent in Hunterdon as well, where if you got a 2 years degree and got like 6 to 12 credits more in a specific skill like robotic manufacturing, like healthcare, like computer automation, like in auto automation, you could be working locally. You could be staying near where you grew up, and you could be earning more than someone who went and got a four-year degree, is carrying an awful lot of debt. The average person is said to be carrying $350 a month worth of school debt, which would be $35,000 in debt, and to me that sounds low when it's costing $60,000 to $70,000 a year to go to college. Secondly, you'd be working for a couple of years longer. And thirdly, you'd be probably in a job you'd really enjoy because, I mean, we really do live in a great place. It's just hard with the cost of living here to keep justifying living here after you've retired. And it's hard to keep the kids here because they want different things than we wanted when we moved here. They're looking for a more urban atmosphere. They're looking for a place where they can be close to the city where their job is. And they want to be able to walk past a Starbucks on the way to work, pick up a coffee, and walk past a bakery on the way home and pick up a loaf of bread. And to a great extent, we don't have that here. Doesn't mean they got to leave, but does do think it means we need to rethink things. Once again, my name is Joe Peters. If you'd like to learn more about me, give me a call, 908-238-0118. And I usually pick up the phone if I'm not already talking to somebody else, and we can talk. Secondly, if you're thinking about buying or selling, it's a great time to start talking a few months before you're really ready to pull the trigger. Or if you're just dipping your toe in the water to see what the temperature is, I can help you do that. I can tell you we have a robust market going on. The higher the price point, the less robust, but it's still pretty robust market going on, and I'd love to work with you. I'm going to play my introduction one more time, and I'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
While hosting the President of Brazil at the White House, President Trump says anything's on the table regarding Venezuela, including tougher sanctions.
We really haven't done the really tough sanctions yet. We can do the tough sanctions, and all options are open, so we may be doing that. But we haven't done the toughest of sanctions, as you know. We've done, right down the middle.
Iowa Senator Republican Joni Ernst will join Vice President Mike Pence in Nebraska to tour flood-damaged areas. At least four people are dead in Iowa and Nebraska from the historic Midwest floods. In Des Moines, Republican Governor Kim Reynolds praised Iowans for helping each other to cope with what's happening.
Iowa's like no other place. We adapt, we solve, and we excel in very difficult times. And there's no doubt in my mind that we'll recover as a state, and Iowans will rebound stronger than ever.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand has called for national unity as the residents of Christchurch, New Zealand, try to return to life as normal. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern spoke to Parliament in response to last Friday's attacks at two different mosques that left 50 people dead. She said New Zealand is a nation of 160 different languages.
We open our doors to others and say welcome. And the only thing that must change after the events of Friday is that this same door must close on all of those who espouse hate and fear.
In a 70-page document issued before the attack, the gunman called foreign immigrants invaders. I'm John Clemens.
Former Texas Congressman Robert O'Rourke has a lot of money in the bank for his presidential campaign. He raised more than $6 million in the first 24 hours after he announced he was running for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. O'Rourke has raised more money than any of the other candidates. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Recapping one of our top stories of the day, flooding continues in the Midwest with more flooding expected, possibly in parts of Nebraska, come the mid part of this week. Some on the left are saying the flooding in Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin is all due to global warming, while Republican Senator from Nebraska Ben Sass says this isn't the time to be bringing up global warming.
The if-then connection that a lot of people draw in the midst of a crisis isn't very helpful. We got a whole bunch of people struggling for life and livelihood. We had sandbars in the middle of the Platte River.